This is the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
16th to go, an American Pharoah and firing line, and it's American Pharoah pulling away late. American Pharoah rules the Derby!
Run Happy just keeps coming at him past the 16th pole. Run Happy, and boy, does this horse love to run. The aptly named Run Happy for Edgar Prado to take it.
Also sponsored by Abracadabra Farm, Adena Springs, Airdrie Stud, VetAmerica.com, Brisnet.com, Cal Density, Castleton Lions, Claiborne Farm, Coolmore, Daily Racing Form, Darley, DerbyBox.com, FarmPaint.com, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, Gainsway, Jimmy John's, Kentucky Bank, Kentucky Downs, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, the Lexus Store of Lexington, Maryland Thoroughbred, Mill Ridge, Nicholson Insurance, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, Ramsey Farm, Santa Anita, Spendthrift Farm, Washington Hay, and Woodbine Entertainment.
But there's no catching Wedding Toast. Wedding Toast, much the best here, all the way in the Beldame.
There will be a fourth jewel in the crown. He's an everlasting credit to the sport. American Pharoah has belted a grand slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum. Baron and Pontiff, that's Mike Penna and Jude Feld, with you in our Lexington, Kentucky studios, and wishing everyone throughout HRN Nation a very happy new year. We hope you celebrated it in fine fashion just a couple of nights ago, and really looking forward to kicking off the first of 52 Equine Forum programs that you will hear in this new year. And boy, what a year 2015 was. It's going to be very difficult to top it, but we're going to do our best for you here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and it begins right here this morning. JT, good morning, my friend.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. Are you a big fan of New Year's resolutions?
No.
Me either.
I'm a big fan of no policy is the best policy.
Yeah.
I'm a fly by the seat of your pants guy.
Yeah. I've decided I'm going to drink more, work out less. Those are my resolutions. I'm going the opposite of what everybody does.
You're
total
you're,
deviation.
You're like my brother who used to give up fish for Lent.
Yeah, something that you just despise, right? Yeah. I don't eat fish anyway, so maybe that's what I should do.
Yes, although you did try some lobster the other day.
Yeah, I did.
I don't know. I find those things kind of I'm not particularly goal oriented anyway. I never have been. I kind of go day to day. So
yeah. I'm okay. I mean, I guess the way I look at it is, you know, so many people will do like the health thing, right? That's a real popular one, maybe the most popular one, where you say, okay, as of January 1st, I'm going to start working out. I'm going to eat better. Quite frankly, I try to do some of that throughout the year. It doesn't always work out. So for me to actually make a resolution to do it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So I guess maybe I should do something horse racing related and say my resolution is to not bet any losers in 2016. I'm going to pick all winners.
Well, you know that would be nice.
it'd be impossible.
Very,
but it'd be
very
nice.
Unrealistic. But I don't know. I just feel like you shouldn't worry about milestones per se. You know, I just feel like if you feel like you're not eating properly, then you know, pull your head out and start eating properly.
Sure.
Or if you think you need more exercise, then you know, pick up your kettlebell and do a little something. I mean, I think that's maybe a little bit better now. You know, it's just my style, I guess. But I think people, January 1st, you know, I'm going on the big drive. And, you know, so
there is a sense of renewal though that comes with the new year, right? And a rebirth, so to speak.
Yeah, I guess it depends too. I mean, on your mindset.
Yeah.
When it happens, you know, I think we're coming off a great year in racing. It was a very nice year for me personally. I had a lot of great things happen to me. So I wasn't particularly interested in seeing 2015 come to an end, but you know, I think why not look forward to what's going to happen this year? And so I don't know. I think, you know, if you've had a bad year or you've had some health issues or things didn't go your way for whatever reason, you know, you may use this as a renaissance, a rebirth kind of a thing. But, you know, it just depends on your mindset, I think.
Well, I'm glad you brought up 2015 because last weekend on this program, we spent some time looking back on the year that was through the eyes of the Horse Racing Radio Network and some of the interviews that Jude and I had the opportunity to conduct throughout the year. I tweeted out on Thursday evening, shortly after the clock struck midnight, a Happy New Year to all of our listeners and everybody throughout HRN Nation. And the comment I made was something along the lines of, not sure how we're going to top 2015, but we're going to give it one hell of a try. And when you look back at the year that was, this was a phenomenal year for thoroughbred racing. Forget about the Triple Crown. Take the Triple Crown out of it, and you look back on some of the other storylines that we saw, like Beholder dominating the boys in the Pacific Classic, one of the great races of all time. And then you look at the Pizza Man, right? And that call from John Dooley when we were there at Arlington Park for the Arlington Million. Chicago's about to erupt because the local boy had done good, the Illinois bred. That, to me, is another moment. Honor Code storming home to run down Liam's Map when he looked hopelessly beaten in the Whitney at Saratoga. And then, you know, again, like we did last week, some of the people we had the chance to visit with throughout the year. I don't know how you top 2015, but again, that's what this great game is all about. We're going to try.
Yeah, well, you know, it was a phenomenal year. I mean, just going race to race and you know, being able to see some of these fantastic performances. And, you know, I've been going to the races since I was 3 years old, and I've seen thousands and thousands of races. But I can't remember a year that I enjoyed more as far as being a racing fan than 2015. I mean, it was outstanding. It seemed like every time we hopped on a plane and went somewhere, the race or races we saw were phenomenal.
Do you think that trainer Gwendolyn Crosser is going to remember 2015?
I would imagine. I think most trainers remember their first winner, and of course,
how about when it's 206-1?
You know, yeah, that's really special too. I think that's a great story.
Well, if you haven't heard that story, that was back on December 28th this past week when Gwendolyn Crosser saddled her first winner as a trainer, 206-1, at Mahoning Valley. The horse's name RB Wild Promise, who won a claiming race. She is going to be here to join us right around 8:35 Eastern Time. We'll look forward to hearing the story from her, and we'll ask her if she knew she had it in the bag all along.
Yeah, when did you know you had it won?
When you saddled them? Is that when you kind of had a pretty good idea? Yeah, that was great. I actually called her yesterday to ask her to come on the program, and I said, hey, 200-1, that's pretty cool. What a way to break your maiden. And she corrected me, and she said, 206-1. Well,
yeah.
Big day for the three-year-olds, too. The Jerome up at Aqueduct, which, by the way, is a points race for the Kentucky Derby. The winner of the Jerome going to be awarded 10 points toward a starting position in the Derby on the first Saturday in May. You have some races at Gulfstream Park, a tremendous card for the three-year-olds. The Grade 3 Hutchinson, you have the Old Hat, you have the Dania Beach, you have the Ginger Brew, the Mucho Macho Man, a lot of stakes races there. And Ron Nicoletti from Gulfstream is going to be with us in the second half of the program to tell you all about those races and who he sees as major contenders. And JT, just in case you're wondering, now just 126 days, 9 hours, 25 minutes, and 12 seconds away from the first Saturday in May.
126 days isn't very many days.
It's not. No. We say this every year on this program, right?
Yeah. But, well, I mean, it just goes so fast. So, yeah, looking forward to it. I mean, Derby season, I guess, officially kicks off today, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you got a points race, and first points race of the year. So it's in full swing. We got to really start paying attention now. Not that we weren't before, but.
Well, and you can follow us all the way down that road to the Kentucky Derby. We kick off our Saturdays at Gulfstream broadcast series in just 35 days. That's on February 6th with the Grade 1 Don Handicap. We'll bring you exclusive radio coverage of Gulfstream's biggest stakes from February 6th all the way through April 2nd in the Florida Derby. That's every single Saturday during the championship meet. And again, it all begins February 6th. You can visit our website, horseracingradio.net. For a complete Saturdays at Gulfstream schedule and a complete 2015 2016 broadcast schedule. It's all there for you, horseracingradio.net. All right, we're going to get to a break. When we come back, we'll kick off this program with jockey Victor Espinoza, who took the time to visit with the Big A, Anthony Stabile, and the Little A, Acacia Courtney, on Express Bet Radio this past week. You'll hear that interview next, right here on the Equine Forum, on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Lane's End.
Adina Spring Stallion, a five-time Grade 1 winner, viewed by many to be the heir to Dinah Former's global legacy, with first crop weanlings already realizing six-figure sums at both Keeneland and Tattersall's in Newmarket. As a racehorse, Point of Entry was a truly great American turf horse, becoming the first since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined 9 lengths.
Point of Entry scores to win the Man of War by 4 lengths. A Hall of Fame ride it was. Point of Entry wins the Sword Dancer, and they're coming down to the finish. And Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a 5-race winning streak.
Point of Entry returned the following year to win the Grade 1 Gulfstream Park Turf and Grade 1 Manhattan, and also displayed the ability and the pedigree to perform at the highest level on dirt. Point of Entry, standing at Adina Springs in Paris, Kentucky. Visit adinastallions.com.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you, with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
A multiple graded stakes winner and earner of more than $1 million. AlterNation reeled off 4 consecutive stakes victories.
AlterNation just far too much class for this field.
AlterNation running a powerful race here.
Cannot match stride with AlterNation.
And it's a photo AlterNation.
Great breeding from a family of successful sires, grand appearance, and brilliance on the racetrack. AlterNation at Pin Oak Stud.
Ramsey Farms, Kitten's Joy.
Stephanie's Kitten and Erod Ortiz Jr. for America in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf.
A champion sire and producer of 3 Grade 1 winners in 2015.
Chiropractor March on Chiropractor in a driving finish here over March.
With more than $11 million in progeny earnings this year.
Big Blue Kitten won the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic.
Kitten's Joy, standing at Ramsey Farm. Visit RamseyFarm.com. Saturday, Gulfstream Park focuses on the road to the Kentucky Derby with a trio of Grade 3 stakes for newly turned 3-year-olds, the Hutchison, the Old Hat, and the Dania Beach. And remember to start your day with breakfast at Gulfstream every Saturday morning. Enjoy a delicious breakfast buffet while taking in workouts of racing's top thoroughbreds. Plus, be sure to take your shot at a life-changing score by playing the Rainbow Six. Visit GulfstreamPark.com. Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interests and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org. A multiple Eclipse champion with more than $6.1 million in earnings.
How about that? Gio Ponte will go back to the winner's circle today.
Gio Ponte's first crop of yearlings were in high demand, while a colt by Gio Ponte topped the first session of the OBS Fall Mix Sale, selling to Conquest Stables after working 3/8 and 33 flat. All of this coming on the heels of his impressive maiden winner, Pirolone, at Belmont Park. Champion Gio Ponte, standing at Castleton Lions.
Hi, I'm Richard Migliori, and I love listening to Horse Racing Radio Network. Good night, Barbados.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And flexibility's coming four wide. Behind the leaders, New York Song follows in fifth, now being ridden along to go. And then Hold the Right Cards on the inside and Brett the Jet. 45-1 was the half. They're into the stretch. Here's Flexibility now coming up alongside of Spooked Out. It is Spooked Out and Flexibility. Flexibility runs by. Flexibility has taken the lead. Spooked Out back into second on the inside. New York Song is third. It's Flexibility and Manny Franco, and they've got it. Slow out of the gate, but fast coming to the wire. Flexibility beat Spooked Out. New York Song was third, and then it was Hold the Right Cards.
Mike Penna, Jude Feld, back with you on the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. A special welcome to everyone tuning in throughout North America on Sirius XM Channel 93, and of course everyone joining us on affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country, and streaming worldwide to more than 160 countries at horseracingradio.net. We are happy to have you with us on this first program of 2016. And Larry Colmus had the call of Flexibility, winning his very first start. That was his maiden win back on October 10th at Belmont. Since that effort, he's returned with second-place finishes in the Grade 2 Nashua and Grade 2 Remsen, both coming at the hands of the very talented undefeated runner Mohiam from the barn of Kieran McLaughlin. And Mohiam, of course, preparing for the Holy Bull Stakes down in Florida. But Flexibility is in action this afternoon in the Grade 3 Jerome. And JT, he is the even money morning line favorite to get the job done in that spot this afternoon.
Yeah, well, he should be. Mohiam is just an awesome horse, and a lot of people think he's got a very, very good chance to win the Kentucky Derby. Flexibility would be undefeated if it wasn't for Mohiam. So, you know, we'll see what happens down the road, but he looks very tough today.
And this is the time of year when we'll start to speculate as to who looks like they're going to be ready to go that mile and a quarter on the first Saturday in May. One thing is for sure, American Pharoah was ready last year. He was ready in all three legs of the Triple Crown. Victor Espinoza was aboard, and he spent some time this past week visiting with Anthony Stabile and Acacia Courtney on Express Bet Radio on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And here's what Victor had to say about the year that was for him in 2015. Take a listen.
One person who doesn't have too much to worry about right now is jockey Victor Espinoza. Of course, he won the Triple Crown this year and the Breeders' Cup Classic aboard the incomparable American Pharoah. And he's nice enough to join us now to wrap up this Wednesday edition of Express Bet Radio. Victor, it's Anthony Stabile and Acacia Courtney. Thanks for taking some time on Express Bet Radio today.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Great year. We're doing good. Well, not as good as you, but we're doing good. I know you and Acacia had a good time over in Hong Kong. A great way to cap off an amazing year. You know, I know you've been asked this a million times, but just talk us through that 5 weeks of that Triple Crown and what it meant to you to get it done in your third try.
Well, this year, I started last year. I started winning like pretty much all the trip, two out of three of the Triple Crown races. And this year, 2015, pretty much I built the win all the races, all of them pretty much, the most important races. 2015 is just one year probably that I will never forget. It's always going to be in my mind, and you know, we all have, you know, the experience 2015 for the Triple Crown and all the fans and also myself, that I've been there a couple of times, very close, and finally this year still get it done with American Pharoah.
Well, Victor, you talked about the fans. Hey, it's Acacia, by the way. You talked about the fans. How has that experience been with everybody kind of asking you for selfies and your autograph? What has that experience been like for you this year?
It is an incredible experience because this year, you know, most important thing for the fans, they will never going to forget that this year, the 2015. I think it was special for me and it's special for all my followers and all my fans that, you know, they watch the racing and also Dancing with the Stars.
Victor, when you turned for home in the Belmont, I shouldn't ask you that. At what point of the Belmont did you know you had it won? And what did it feel like when you came to that realization that you had it won? What did that feel like?
Honestly, I noticed that, well, the first of all, when I, before the race, I thought if I can open it up one length, you know, before I hit to that first turn, then it'll be all over. And that was the moment that I know I win the race. Right in the first turn, when I open it up one length, you know, and get American Pearl in his high speed that he always has. And that time I was just, that was over. The race is over. But I was kind of excited, but I would not even celebrate yet because it's still a long ways to go. and I want to make sure that I know that I was winning the race, but I want to make sure that I cross the wire before anything. I think my emotion feels just a little relaxed because I always start on the first turn, so it seems like it was like, you know, forever to get there. But by the time I get there, my emotions are not too high like when I hit the first turn.
Victor, I want to talk about the Breeders' Cup a little bit. That was American Pharoah's final race. You got to send him out in style, and you said you wanted to just let him run. What was that kind of feeling at the end there?
That was incredible. For me, it was more emotional because for the losses that he had and the Travers, and I know they. Couple of their other horses there in the race, that, you know, obviously everybody thinks they had the best horse in the race, but to stand there, I hear a couple of they were kind of like they're kind of talking about, you know, American Pharoah is not the same, he, you know, because he lost one race, and for me, I want to prove everybody wrong that, you know, you can't put down the Triple Crown winner, and for that reason, I want to, like, you know, let her run. I want to let her run and just not just win the race. You know, he broke the tread record too. So I wanted, like, a couple of other ones that thought they're going to beat American Pharoah. They're pretty much wrong because, you know, a Triple Crown is a Triple Crown. It's just probably will never, I mean, I don't know how many years from now, and I hope next year, but you will never, you know, be able to see a horse like American Pharoah.
Victor, when he comes off the Travers loss and you go into the Breeders' Cup, is there added pressure to send him out a winner to win that Breeders' Cup Classic?
No, it was not pressure. Honestly, I think the most pressure I have this year in all his races, I think it was the first race and also the Travers. The first race because he was off for a very long time. And it was the time, it was very short. It was very short for the Kentucky Derby. And I had a lot of pressure. It was like, you know, I must, in my mind, if you don't win this race, then you might be in trouble for the Kentucky Derby. That's the only time, you know, I feel a little bit of pressure. And also, the second time that I kind of have a little bit of pressure on in American Pharoah, it was in the Travers. Because it was a lot of things that go against him. You know, he ran in the house goal. He ran a big race, shipped it to California to train, shipped it back to Kentucky, and in a short period of time, only 3 weeks. And when it was on the way to Saratoga, I guess the plane was delayed. He was basically, it took him 12 hours to get to Saratoga from California. And all this travel and also there was the one thing that they probably nobody knows, you know, only myself. He always wears one of our shoes in the left foot, front left foot. And I guess they, you know, cause it was such a heavy horse and when I was warming up in the Travers, he was kind of like, he took one couple of wrong steps in there and I was, For 1 second, it was just like almost my heart stopped because I thought he got hurt. And then I started thinking about it, but he wore a bar suit in there. And then I was like, okay, well, it's just a little bit of relief, but it's still, you know, I walk him for maybe 10 yards, and he was okay. And again, it's a lot of pressure on me and Dave because I know he was going to – he's not going to run his race like he's always been. But I thought, oh, okay, maybe he's much the best. Maybe still he can win the race. But, you know, he kind of – he was kind of flat in the, during the race. And, you know, he got beat, which is sometimes is probably the best thing that ever happened to him. Because he come back and he got two months off and going to the Breeders' Cup. And when it comes to the Breeders' Cup, honestly, I was more excited that, you know, to go there and just to have a good show for all the fans and everybody who was watching. The American Pharoah, he's going to destroy everyone during the race.
Well, you certainly sent him out in magnificent style, and he overcame so many things, and you did together. What is the one moment of this year? Is there one in particular that stands out more than anything for you?
Honestly, you know, I can tell you about during the race or any other three, every races that I rode him, I can tell you the Kentucky Derby. I will never forget the Kentucky Derby because there was a lot of emotions on the race. It seems like that race, it was like, you know, weeks. The wire, he will never get there. it was a lot of emotions because, you know, a lot of times I thought, you know, oh, man, I'm not going to win. And then suddenly, oh, I'm going to win. And oh, I'm not going to win. And for that reason, I had to earn. I earned the Triple Crown and the first step, which is the Kentucky Derby. And I will never forget that. Because if Yaddo rode American Pharoah the way I rode him in the Derby, it would not be a Triple Crown.
Victor, what do you think it is about?
That's why I never forget that.
Now, Victor, what do you?
Besides the races, all the things that I done, I will probably never forget dancing with the stars because I don't even know how to dance before. But you know what? I went in there and, you know, hey, I did a show for all the fans.
Victor, you looking forward to getting back aboard California Chrome next week?
Yes, I am excited. I'm looking forward to the next year, 2016. You know, hopefully, you know, I always, you know, for me, I always have goals, and my goals are hopefully I can do, you know, good with California Chrome.
How's he doing in the morning? Have you seen? Have you worked him at all?
Yeah, I worked him last Saturday, and you know, he worked good. I'm gonna work him. I think this Saturday or Sunday at Santa Anita in between races, so it's gonna be, you know, good work, the last final work for these races.
Well, it'll be tough to top 2015, but we wish you nothing but the best in 2016. You were very, very helpful and approachable here for us at the Horse Racing Radio Network, and we can't thank you enough. Congratulations on a magical season. You and American Pharoah, one we soon will not forget.
Thank you, and thank you for all you guys, and hopefully we have an amazing 2016.
Victor Espinoza with the Big A, Anthony Stabile, and the Little A, Acacia Courtney on Express Bet Radio, which, by the way, you can hear every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday afternoons on Sirius 220, XM 206. Mark that one down on your calendar. It all comes your way from 3 to 6 Eastern on those 3 days. You think about some of the things that he said in there, Jude, and he had some great points that he brought up. I thought Acacia's question about the moment that stood out to him most was a very good one, and he said, you would think he would say that winning the Triple Crown, but he said the Kentucky Derby was the one moment that he's never going to forget.
Well, that was, you know, I mean, if you don't win the Derby, then you can't win the Triple Crown.
Yeah, well said.
It's kind of a you know, thing where that's where it all starts, and you know, that's... It's one of the reasons that the Preakness is so great because the focus is all on the Derby winner, and you know, you don't have that pressure that you have going into the Derby. Winning the Derby is so hard.
Yeah,
I mean, there's, you know, everybody wants to win it. Everybody wants to win it. Then, you know, there's only 20 horses that are gonna get in, right?
Yep.
And then only one of those 20 is gonna win. So everybody, even if your horse runs great, you're going to be disappointed if you're not first.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's like one of the few races with a huge purse that your horse can run as good as he could possibly run, and you're going to feel like you really lost everything if you don't win it. So it's a very, very unique situation. And so I would imagine that, you know, and Victor had won the race twice previously. So, you know, I mean, it's one of those situations where no matter how many times you win it, it's like such an important event that you're not going to forget that.
Yeah, and I thought his answer to the pressure question was interesting as well when he said that he didn't really feel the pressure coming up to the Triple Crown. Of course, he had been there before as well a couple of times, but he felt pressure his first race of 2015 with American Pharoah and then pressure right before the Travers. And then he told that story of warming up before the Travers and thinking, oh, maybe he took a bad step, maybe something's... But then he says, well, he has the bar shoe on that he always wears, and he said that is what, you know, he remembered that, and then he started walking and he was fine. But, you know, you think about those two instances, and that's where Victor felt the most pressure this year with American Pharoah.
Yeah, well, I think anytime you have a little modicum of doubt in your mind, that's where the pressure comes in. When you're confident, and I go back to that interview with Bob Baffert at Fasig Tipton, and Bob talked about putting Victor up for the Belmont, and he like said, oh, you know, he got all pumped up, and Baffert says, you know, the jocks know, you know, when they get on the horse, they know. And so, you know, that had to be like a really great feeling, you know, to hop on that horse and have the horse, like horses, when they get excited and when they are ready to run, they blow themselves up. Literally. I mean, they get bigger and their blood vessels pop out, and, you know, so that instant reaction that Victor had the minute he got on American Pharoah was like, okay, we're ready today. So now you don't have to worry, you know, but whenever that little doubt, and it could be so infinitesimal, you know, it changes your whole perspective. And so I could see that.
Well, Victor, with some great stuff there in that interview, and our thanks to Victor for taking the time, not just this past week on Express Bet Radio, but certainly throughout the entire year, made himself extremely accessible to us, and the entire American Pharoah team certainly did, and we appreciate that for helping us out with all of our coverage in 2015. All right, we're going to turn our attention to a great story. We mentioned it at the top of the show. We're going to do that next. Gwendolyn Crosser saddled her first winner as a trainer on December 28th at Mahoning Valley, but it's not your ordinary type of first win. And we'll tell you why right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf and a short break. We're back to visit with Gwendolyn in just a couple of moments.
On an absolutely picture-perfect day for Thoroughbred Racing at Saratoga, the Dowager Empress of American Racing, seven horses were to go postward for the 1941 Hopeful Stakes. This race, the fourth on the day's card, was for two-year-olds, ipso facto, the moniker. It had originally drawn 238 nominees, but that number was cut down to 133 eligibles prior to the race. The reason that a short field of seven went postward was that three of the seven raced as a single betting interest for trainer John Gaver. The Manhasset stable had Amphitheater, the Sir Galahad III colt, who had won the Saratoga Special in commanding style. The Green Tree colors were sported by Shutout, the Equipoise colt, who'd run second in the Special and won the Grand Union Hotel Stakes, and Devil Diver is the other half of their entry. Devil Diver was a St. German's colt who'd run second to Shutout in both the Grand Union and the Sanford. Mrs. Payne Whitney owned Green Tree, and her daughter, Mrs. C.S. Payson, owned Manhasset Stable. As an aside, a horse named Buster was in the field, and he was owned by Mrs. Payne Whitney's son, John Hay Whitney. They had in those days come to be known as, quote-unquote, the royal family of the American turf. To most observers, the three-horse entry of Devil Diver, Shutout, and Amphitheater looked to be unbeatable. All three had been racing against better company than there was in this field and had scored impressive wins. Shortly after the start, Devil Diver glided to the lead, and his stablemate Shutout was right there, prompting to pace under the venerable heady Eddie Arcaro. Those two were on the lead, on to and around the far turn, with the rest of the small field well-bunched and not far back. Around that far turn, there was considerable jockeying for position, which resulted in some bumping. The primary offender was Shutout under Arcaro. Arcaro jostled the challenging Ramillies a good bit amongst others. Devil Diver clung to the lead down the lane, even though tiring a bit in the final furlong, and won it by an open length. Shutout was second by a length, Amphitheater third. So the three-horse entry nailed down the top three spots. In fact, Buster finished fourth, so that the entire amount of the stakes went to the Whitney family. The rest of the story and the result of a very roughly run race was that an Ask No Quarter and Give None Eddie Arcaro, who had just resumed riding the previous week after a 30-day suspension for rough riding in Empire City, was once again suspended for his cowboy tactics, so to speak, in this running of the hopeful, pending a hearing, of course. At that hearing, the stewards of the Jockey Club suspended him for the rest of the year. Many thought the suspension should have been for life, since the foul in the hopeful was so blatantly flagrant. You'd think the young, aggressive, and precocious Arcaro would have learned his lesson from that, but not Eddie. Early the next year, in the Cowden Stakes, Arcaro and his mount got bumped just after the start while he was aboard Occupation. The offending rider was Vince Nodars aboard Breezing Home. Arcaro and Occupation eventually caught up to Breezing Home and Nodars in the late stages of that race. Arcaro then brought his mount up outside of Nodars and Breezing Home and literally tried to put Nodars over the inside rail. The stewards called Eddie in after the race and asked him just exactly what he was trying to do. Said Eddie, "I was trying to kill that Cuban." For that, Eddie got suspended for 1 year. The hopeful of 1941 in August and the victory of Devil Diver and Arcaro's rough ride in it, plus the aftermath in Eddie Arcaro's career, a truly memorable, if not great, moment as part of one of the legends of thoroughbred racing.
The late Pete Kulis with your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. They're right on the corner of New Circle and Liberty, and they are horse people and want to be the dealership of the equine industry in central Kentucky. I encourage you, I've been doing it for more than a decade now in this program, to go visit them. You see the Godfather and all the great folks at the Lexus Store of Lexington, and I promise they will take care of you at the Lexus Store of Lexington. We're back with Gwendolyn Crosser right after this.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus Store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus Store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus Store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the Godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus Store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Pin Oak Studs, Broken Vow, ranks among the top sires in North America every year. Runners by this outstanding son of Unbridled have earned nearly $54 million and won major stakes on all surfaces from coast to coast. Sought after in the sales ring and hard to catch on the track, Broken Vow consistently has success at the highest level. Broken Vow at Pin Oak Stud.
The way you are, have run by.
Here's Arch.
Honeymoon handicap goes to Seren.
International Grade 1 sire Arch has sired over 17% stakes horses. He is the sire of champions in four countries, including Eclipse champion Blaine.
Blaine has won it ahead.
And his daughters have already produced two Eclipse champions. Arch, championship sire at Claiborne Farm.
Power. Character did a favor in front. The Spaniard News Arcanarius is fighting back. Character has won.
Passion.
Prestige Vendome is making him fight all the way towards the line. It's Caraconti winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Caraconti with a rush on the outside goes Vendome. Late run from Odor. Caraconti and Odor. Caraconti.
Gainesway is home to North America's leading sire, Tappet, and is proud to announce the addition of multiple Group and Grade 1 winner, Caraconti. One of the leading juveniles in Europe, Caraconti won the Group 1 Grand Criterium with a time form rating of 115 And at three, he scored impressively in the Group 1 French 2000 Guineas and stormed home to win the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile at Santa Anita. Cara Conti, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what would be a common misunderstanding between an insured and the insurance company?
Mike, one issue is a policy condition that requires notification when an insured animal becomes sick or injured.
Do you mean in life-threatening situations?
Not just then, but if a veterinarian is called in for treatment other than routine care. Take, for example, if a yearling colt gets his foreleg caught in a fence and tears the skin. The coat is stitched up and everything seems fine, but later the coat develops a systemic infection. Then there is a serious situation that the company knows nothing about.
So the company needs to know, even if it's not a life-threatening situation.
That's right. It's a policy condition. The company has a stake in the health of the animal because of the existing insurance policy. The company might want to have its own vet examine the horse. In most cases, though, just a call or email is all that is needed.
For all your equine and general insurance needs, including farm owners, liability, homeowners, auto, and more, contact Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
Airdrie Stud is proud to introduce Summer Front for the 2016 breeding season.
Summer Front and Joe Bravo have won.
A multiple graded stakes winning millionaire by the Great War Front, Summer Front began his career as an undefeated multiple stakes winner at 2 before going on to win graded stakes at 3, 4, and 5. Boasting a top-class pedigree and the jaw-dropping looks that made him a $475,000 sales horse. The explosiveness, the looks, and the pedigree to be a truly important sire. Airdrie Stud's Summer Front. Think about it.
Hello, this is Bill Mott. You're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And RB Wild Promise is coming into contention fifth. Gerard up the rail, sixth. They turn for home. Plenty of hopes. Here's Tony Winner up and after the lead. Northern Fox plugging away second. Then it's Savannah Mike, Precious Energy, center of the track. RB Wild Promise down to the 16th pole. Northern Fox on the outside, Tony Winner inside Havana Mike, and here's RB Wild Promise to spring the upset. RB Wild Promise to win it. It's a blanket finish for the runner-up and third positions. Valiente Corazon was closing late, as was Indy Cruz between rivals. Havana Mike was right there, as was Northern Fox.
Race 7 at Mahoning Valley on December 28th, this past Monday, the victory going to RB Wild Promise at odds of, are you ready for this, 206-1. And RB Wild Promise is trained by Gwendolyn Crosser, who joins us momentarily here on the Equine Forum presented by Lane's End. Mike Penna, Jude Feld with you in our Lexington studios. JT, you trained horses for more than 20 years out in California. You ever saddle a 206-1 winner?
No. No, I did have one pay a little over 100 at Hollywood Park one time.
Yeah.
But which was a ridiculous price.
Actually. I loved your tweet, by the way, this morning about Gwendolyn Crosser.
Right.
And not the Toddster. Todd Pletcher.
Yeah. Yeah, Pletcher's never done that.
Gwendolyn Crosser has, and she joins us now here on the Equine Forum presented by Lane's End. Gwendolyn, first of all, Happy New Year. Congratulations, and thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us this morning.
No problem. Thank you very much, and Happy New Year to you as well.
Yeah, happy to have you on board. And just curious, how many times have you gone back and watched the replay of that race?
Oh, I can't remember how many times I've watched the replay.
Well, 206-1. I called you yesterday, and I said, geez, 200-1. What a great way to debut in your for your first winner as a trainer. And you corrected me and said, no, 206-1. Was it ever in doubt for you? Did you know you had it the whole time?
I'm sorry?
Was it ever in doubt for you? Did you know you had the win the whole time?
Well, I knew that he was feeling really good, but I knew he was going to run good. I didn't know he was going to run that well.
Is it true that he was kind of like a gift horse?
Yes.
Tell us that story.
I was ponying for the owner and trainer probably a couple months prior since they come to Mountaineer. And whenever I seen the horse when they ran him the first time, I mean, he's just a nice little horse. And I mean, I I usually pay attention to my client's horses. And he's just, I mean, I like the horse whenever I first seen him. And he win that night, and then a couple weeks, I think it wasn't even 2 weeks later that they run him back. And they had said something to me about it. And if I wanted him, and then when, because they can't get him to load on the trailer and stuff from the farm. And so then I took him, and I mean, it's been pretty good since then.
Yeah, well,
he had some minor little issues that was fixed, and I mean, had a couple not really great trips, but one day was a best race.
Did you get your trainer's license specifically to train him, or had you had it before?
No, I've had my trainer's license about a year prior.
Gwendolyn, forget about the 206-1 odds, but you saddle your first winner as a trainer, and you did it in great fashion, but you did it in a blanket finish. Describe the emotions. I mean, tell me about watching this race and the horses coming down the stretch, and then the moment that you see RB's Wild Promise hit the winner's circle.
I actually ponied him to the gate on Monday, and whenever I handed him off to the gate crew, I went back to the three-quarter chute because it was going 5.5. And I was watching, but, I mean, I couldn't really tell exactly where he was because the horses were so close together. And then when they rounded about at the quarter pole, I heard the announcer say his name. And then not long after, he said it, like, right back real quick with, like, an excitement in his voice. So, I mean, and from that far away, you can't really tell the numbers on the horses. And I just followed that horse that crossed the wire first down and around. And whenever I seen Lucy when he was pulling up, I asked him if he got it, and he told me he did. And I mean, I was excited. And by the time I got to the wire, I cried.
Well, it's a great feeling when you win your first race, and when you pony a horse to the post like that, and then, you know, you can't really see him. It's got to be, you know, kind of a little frustrating, huh? I mean, you're kind of straining your neck over there by the three-quarter pole trying to figure it all out.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Gwendolyn, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who is Gwendolyn Crosser? You grow up in Gainesville, Florida, and now here you are, you know, with your trainer's license and already successful. Tell us a little bit about you. How'd you get started in racing?
I got started in racing. I mean, my grandpa got me into it. I mean, he had me on horses before I could ride a bike. He was a jockey, and he outrode at Ellis Park. And they had a farm in Illinois, probably about almost an hour from Ellis. And he got me my first horse and everything. So, yeah.
So this was all you ever wanted to do?
Yeah, whenever I was little, I wanted to be a jockey, but, I mean, since then, got a little too big for that, so training's next best thing.
Well, I know you spent some time at Mountaineer working with as an assistant to John Baird. Tell me about that experience.
Yeah. John's a really nice guy. He's a really cool guy to work for.
Do you plan on expanding your stable, or are you just going to train your own?
Eventually, yes, I probably will.
What do you do for an encore from here?
There's a race coming up here in a couple weeks, but, I mean, the way entries are going up here, I mean, it's tough to get a horse in, but there's another race here at the end of the month, so we'll see how it goes.
How many horses do you have in your stable right now? Gwendolyn, are you still there? I think we may have lost her. Maybe she hung up on us. I don't blame her. Enough of those guys. When I'm done,
hello.
I'm done.
Hello.
And there we go. We
You're
thought
back.
Maybe you hung up on us.
No.
How many horses do you have in your stable right now, Gwendolyn?
He is my only horse besides my pony.
Oh, nice. Nice. All right. So it's all hands on deck and all the focus on RB Wild Promise moving forward.
Yes, definitely.
Well, Gwendolyn, first of all, congratulations on the win. And again, Happy New Year. And keep it rolling up there with RB Wild Promise. And we'll keep an eye on you here moving forward. And all the best here in 2016.
Yes. Thank you very much.
And Gwendolyn, Gwendolyn Crosser, like all of our guests who appear on the program, receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It's the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. How about that? 206-1.
Yeah, it's awesome. I was very excited when I first saw that on Twitter. I thought, wow, that's cool. It's really cool. And then I found out that the horse was free. They just said, here, you can have him.
Yeah.
Not that bad of a horse. I wonder why it was such a big price. I didn't look at his PPs or anything. I don't ordinarily handicap Mahoning Valley, but Tom Lamara might know.
Yeah, I'm sure. He would be the guy to talk with, for sure.
He's our man.
All right, we're going to get to a break here momentarily, but want to remind you that Tonalist, Mr. Speaker, Honor Code, and Liam's Map reinforce the power of Lane's End Stallions. This 2016 roster builds on Lane's End's legacies, AP Indy, King Mambo, and Smart Strike. As the new crop joins the ranks of current leading stallions, Candy Ride, Lemon Drop Kid, Mineshaft, The Factor, Union Rags, Noble Mission, and City Zip, the successful tradition of the 13-time leading stud farm continues. Lane's End. You can visit lanesend.com to learn more. All right, we'll get you set for the second half of the program and tell you about some other things coming up with the Horse Racing Radio Network here in 2016. We'll do it right after this short break on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events. I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using flare strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flair Strips. FlairStrips.com.
Introducing the Spendthrift for 2016 Palace, the multiple Grade 1 winning millionaire and fastest son of leading sire City Zip. Palace proved to be a leading sprinter in North America in 2014 and 2015, winning such New York staples as the Grade 1 Forgo Stakes, Grade 1 Vanderbilt Stakes, and Grade 2 True North Stakes. Palace is set to retire at season's end to Spendthrift. For more information on Palace, call us toll free at 888-816-8787. That's 888-816-8787.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is the finest premium Western Timothy and alfalfa, direct from Washington State. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in Central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Learn more by following Washington Hay Company on Facebook today.
Being a jockey may be one of the more dangerous professions in all of sports. In a split second, you can go from the top of the standings to never being able to stand again. I'm Mike Penna, and over the years, I've had the privilege of talking with many of the top jockeys in thoroughbred racing. And to a person, they will tell you that on any given day, before any given race, when they get a leg up, there's no guarantee they'll return the way they left. It's simply the reality of being a jockey. The Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund does amazing work, providing financial assistance to some 60 former jockeys who have suffered catastrophic on-track injuries. Since its founding 10 years ago, the PDJF has disbursed over $7 million to permanently disabled jockeys. And I'm proud to say that the PDJF is the official charity of the Horse Racing Radio Network. But the only way they can continue helping those disabled riders who have given our sport so much is through your generosity and support. So I encourage you to visit PDJF.org and start making a difference today.
Love horse racing? Climb aboard the A-Train every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 3 to 6 Eastern with Express Bet Radio on HRRN. The Big A, Anthony Stabile, and the Little A, Acacia Courtney, team up to bring you live race coverage from tracks across the country and interviews with the biggest names in racing. It's all aboard the A-Train. Wednesdays through Fridays on Express Bet Radio on HRRN. Tune in 3 to 6 Eastern on Sirius 220 XM 206 and streaming live at horseracingradio.net.
This is trainer Chad Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
All of our broadcasts in 2016 are powered by Verizon Wireless when we're on the road at racetracks across the country. And now you can have no regrets. Switch to the better network and receive up to $650. One of the great things about Verizon is they are always watching out for their customers. Not only do they have the largest 4G LTE network, but right now you can receive up to $650 by switching to Verizon. Go to the nearest Verizon store for more details, or go to Verizon.com. Fun first half of the program. We're getting set to segue into hour number two. Ron Nicoletti going to join us from Gulfstream Park to look at some of the big races there, including the Grade 3 Hutchinson. Of course, the big race in New York this afternoon is the Grade 3 Jerome. That is a Derby points race. It is a mile and 70 yards on the inner track at Aqueduct. And one horse that we know will not go to the post in there is number 8, King Krantz. 6-1 on the morning line originally was King Krantz, but broke his maiden yesterday and did it in fine fashion in a stakes race, winning the Lost in the Fog Stakes. So King Krantz on his way with his career, and not going to be in the Jerome, but doesn't need to be. He's already a stakes winner. How about that?
Yeah, well, a much easier spot. And, congratulations to him. He's been running good, that horse.
Very well.
Very nice.
Yeah, very
He's
well.
He's a Munnings, is he not?
He is.
All right, there you go.
Son of Munnings.
Son of Munnings. Can't go bad there.
There's a horse name. Son? Is there a son of Munnings?
I don't know.
Has anybody come up with that yet, or did I just come out with this great idea? How clever would that be? Oh, son of Munnings.
Very clever. Extremely clever.
You can't get anything past the Baron.
No. Got to wake up awful early to get past the Baron.
Well, the big favorite in that race is Flexibility. And here's the cool thing, JT. Flexibility broke his maiden. He's a New York bred, son of Bluegrass Cat. Breaks his maiden on October 10th. Comes back and finishes second in both the Grade 2 Nashua and the Grade 2 Remsen. Both of those second place finishes at the hands of Mohamed. Mohamed, I guess is how you probably pronounce it, right?
Mohamed, I say Mohamed.
Yeah.
Okay, let's call the whole thing off.
Yeah, exactly. Now, if Flexibility wins easy today, Mohamed, a lot of people thinking, is maybe the horse to beat at this point in the first Saturday of May. Certainly one of them, with all due respect to horses like Nyquist, who is yet to get going with his 2016 campaign. But if Flexibility wins easily today, do you upgrade Mohamed, or do you just say, okay, let's wait and see what he does next time out? It's not a bad sign, right?
No.
It's a good thing.
I would absolutely upgrade Mohamed, but I have him very high on the list currently. My own personal list. But Mohamed's just been super impressive.
Yeah.
And he's run some very nice numbers as well. So there's lots of things to like about him.
How about the history of the Jerome Stakes, dating back to 1866, and it's been won by such legendary horses like Kelso, and even Aristides, the first Kentucky Derby winner, won the race in 1875. Duke of Magenta, Fair Play, Bold Ruler, Carryback, some big names that have come through there, and of course Derby winner Fusaichi Pegasus in 2000, the last horse to win the Jerome and go on and win the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, it's a very historic race, and it's a cool race, and it's kind of lost a little luster the last few years, I guess. Maybe because it's early in the year and people aren't gearing their horses up as early as they used to. But it's a good race, and today's field is pretty tough. Nice race to handicap.
And good races down in Florida. I mentioned the Grade 3 Hutchinson, which is only a 7-horse field that goes as race number 3 very early on the program. It will be followed by the Grade 3 Old Hat Stakes, both of those for the 3-year-olds. Of course, the Hutchinson for the boys and the Old Hat for the girls, both at 6 furlongs on the main track. So horses that are, at least at this point, just getting kind of started. Well, most of the horses are getting started with this 2016 Road to the Derby. Maybe not quite as far along as the horses we see in the Jerome in New York. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair. I think I used to like the Hutchinson better at 7 furlongs than 6 furlongs. I mean, it's just as far as like a Derby prep race. I mean, I think it'd be kind of nice to start out your Derby season with a 7-furlong race and then take it from there. But that's just me. I'm sure trainers that have horses that don't want to go to the Derby are happy the Hutchison 6 furlongs.
Yeah.
You know, so it depends on the horse. But I think calling the Hutchison a Derby prep at 6 furlongs is kind of
It's a bit
odd.
Of a stretch.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the favorite in there, Shake of Shakes, morning line favorite at 9-5 for Wesley Ward, a winner of the Juvenile Dirt Sprint at Keeneland last time out. And again, his 3-year-old debut coming up later this afternoon in that Grade 3 Hutchison. Ron Nicoletti is going to be with us right around 9:30 Eastern time to tell you all about that race and all the big races at Gulfstream later this afternoon. And we'll tell you all about our upcoming schedule when we come back with hour number 2 of the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. First, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End.
The 37-year wait is over! American Pharoah is finally the one! American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown!
Songbird is just rolling past the eighth pole, has the lead by 6. Rachel Valentina is in second, but there is absolutely no stopping Songbird.
Beholder, once again, is just making this look so easy. It is Beholder in an absolute canter, being geared down late by Gary Stevens. Beholder in a formality.
Stop Charging Maria, short lead. Stellar Wind is fighting on. Stop Charging Maria just keeps battling back. Stop Charging Maria wins the Longines Breeders' Cup Distaff.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number 2 of the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick 4, Pope Jude. You can visit PopeJude.com for all of his selections and to get a sheet with his analysis of all the big races each and every weekend. That's PopeJude.com. JT, 126 days, 8 hours, 31 minutes, and now just 50 seconds away from the Run for the Roses.
It gets closer by the second.
Do I already have Derby fever?
I think you do. I might have to take your temperature.
Feel my forehead. Yeah, feel my forehead. Well, again, some big Derby preps today. At least initial Derby preps. I say big. I don't know. We'll find out if they're big on the first Saturday in May. But the Grade 3 Jerome and Aqueduct, and then the Grade 3 Hutchison, and a card featuring a plethora of 3-year-olds at Gulfstream Park later today.
Yeah, well, I mean, in theory, they're all Derby preps until the Derby shows up, right?
That's right.
You know, so with the point system, you have to win those pesky races that get you points.
Yes,
but other than that, I mean, you know, you never know where the next Derby winner's coming from. So, I mean, we have seen some nice horses, but the shouting isn't over yet.
Since we are kind of in countdown mode. At least I'm always in countdown mode here on the program, but 35 days and counting until the debut of our Saturdays at Gulfstream broadcast series. It kicks off February 6th with the Grade 1 Don and continues all the way through the Florida Derby on April 2nd. You will hear exclusive radio coverage of every major stakes race every Saturday at Gulfstream, February 6th through April 2nd, only right here on HRN. And JT, I know you are as excited as I am to get to South Florida for the winter.
Yeah, well, it's going to be nice to be down there and be on the scene every day, and really looking forward to it. It's a little bit different than our usual schedule that time of year, but it's going to be fun.
Nice part is that people don't have to wait until February 6th to catch our race coverage, though, because we swing into action 2 weeks from today with the Sunshine Millions at Gulfstream. We make our first visit of the new year to Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida. January 16th, the Sunshine Millions, all presented by our friends at Adena Springs. So can't thank them enough for their support. They've been the title sponsor of that coverage for the past 4 or 5 years, and happy to have them involved again, and happy to be able to bring you that coverage of a great day of racing on January 16th.
Yeah, that's traditionally a really exciting day and lots of good races. So looking forward to getting down there for that. It's going to be a beautiful card, I'm sure.
This past week, you and I received, I guess it was about 2 weeks ago, we got the past performances of all the Eclipse Award candidates and it is up to us as voters to narrow it down to three and to rank our top three in each of the categories. Those finalists, the three finalists in every category, going to be announced this coming Wednesday at Gulfstream Park. As a matter of fact, we're going to try to bring you some of that on Express Bet Radio Wednesday afternoon. They're going to do it in the morning. We will record it and try to bring it back to you in the afternoon if you don't get a chance to listen to it. But looking forward to seeing who makes the cut and seeing how we did in terms of selecting our top three in each of the categories.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, we pick who we pick.
We do what we do. We are who they thought we were.
It's not like picking winners necessarily, but I found it rather cut and dried this year. I didn't really think it took a tremendous amount of analysis. I feel too
most
like,
category. There were a couple that I really had to stop and think and research, and you know, I really take it very seriously, of course,
so
like
do
most
I.
people do. And there were a couple that really stopped me in my tracks and said, this isn't quite as cut and dry as you think it is.
Yeah. Well, I feel like if you need to look at the PPs, you probably shouldn't be voting.
Really?
That's kind
See,
of my...
See, I disagree.
Well, you don't look at the PPs as much as I do over
correct.
The course of the year, but I feel like you see all these horses run. I mean, for the most part.
Yep.
There's probably... Other than maybe the steeplechase horses, which we get to see some at Saratoga, but you know, you've pretty much seen everybody that's in contention run at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, you know, be interesting to see if you wrote your selections down without looking at the PPs, and then go back and see after you look at the PPs if you've changed your mind on
right.
any. But I think like. If you follow racing the way an Eclipse Award voter should follow it, then you probably don't need the PPs that much.
All right, well, let's walk through, and we have no problem divulging our top three finalists that we selected. Now, this is not...
Speak for yourself. I never talk about this. I was a little surprised when you...
I can back up every single selection that I make, so to speak.
Oh,
and you can too.
I can too, but it's like, to me, it's like nobody's business, but anyway... Well, let's do it.
Let's make it everybody's business. Why not?
Where
do you want to start? Two-year-old male?
I have a lot of philosophical issues with this. A two-year-old male. Yeah. Okay.
I went with Nyquist. How about you?
So did I.
This is riveting.
Very riveting.
Shattering information.
I mean, to me, Nyquist was the most accomplished horse.
Yep.
He did everything that you're supposed to do if you're going to be the champion two-year-old male. Mohamed was my second choice, very high on that horse, and I picked Arrow Force third.
We are so. In exact agreement
That's
in that
a little
particular
scary.
Category. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. 2-year-old filly candidates. I ended up going with Songbird. This, again, you said cut and dry. This was a no-brainer.
Yeah. I mean, far and away, the best 2-year-old filly. I went with Catch a Glimpse, who I was very impressed with at the Breeders' Cup.
Yep.
And Stage Play, which is a horse that maybe a lot of people did not include in their selections. But I thought she really finished up the year well, and I like that filly.
Yeah, that's one that I did not have on my list. I had Songbird voted number one. Rachel's Valentina is the one that we were different on. I had her ranked as number two after that runner-up finished to Songbird in the Juvenile Fillies. And Catch a Glimpse, you mentioned Catch a Glimpse. That was my number three selection in there.
Okay, not too far off.
No, pretty close. The 3-year-old male candidates, this one was, in my opinion, pretty cut and dry as well. I went Frosted All Day Long. wait.
No, I don't think that's right. You might have to go back and look at your PPs.
American Pharoah.
Right. Right. American Pharoah. I picked Run Happy second and Dortmund third.
Yeah, I was right in perfect lockstep with you there as well. 3-year-old filly candidates. This was one I stopped and looked at for a few minutes. And I eventually went with the undefeated Lady Eli, who we haven't seen in action since July 4th in the Belmont Oaks when she won that race. A perfect 3-for-3 in 2015. I thought that in a category that seemed wide open, she deserved to be the one.
I agree. I picked her on top. I took Stellar Wind second and Carolina third.
Yeah, well, there you go. I went Found second, winner of the Breeders' Cup turf over the older boys, and I went with Stellar Wind in the third position. So, again, pretty close on that one, and interesting, we both had Lady Eli on top. Four-year-olds and up, dirt male candidate, so these are the older males, the handicap horses, if you will. For me, it was Liam's Map getting the nod in here over Tonalist.
Yeah, I picked Liam's Map. Obviously, Breeders' Cup winner. He ran some incredible races. The Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile was an incredible race.
Spectacular.
For him. I picked Shared Belief second and Tonalist third.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. When you do this, you're talking about just their 2015 campaign. And that's one thing to keep in mind, too. So you have to look at what each of these horses did respectively in 2015. And Liam's Map, 3-for-4, his only defeat coming by a neck in the Grade 1 Whitney when he was run down by that sensational performance by Honor Code, who, by the way, Honor Code was my third selection in there. Yeah, Shared Belief was another one that I went back and forth on. I'm like, boy, it's hard not to throw him into the mix. And he certainly deserves to be in the top three. I wouldn't argue with anybody that has him in the top three in that category. 4-year-old and up, dirt female candidate. So the older ladies, and this, again, to me, a no-brainer, Beholder.
Yeah, well, I ranked Beholder Specific Classic as one of the top five races I've ever seen in my life. It was a phenomenal performance. Really, really good. I picked Stop Charging Maria second. I thought she had a very good year. I thought her race in the Breeders' Cup Distaff was excellent. And then I picked Sheer Drama third. I think maybe with a better post, she might have done better in the Breeders' Cup, but she had a good year all the way around, and I thought she beat some pretty nice fillies during the year.
Yeah, I agree. I went with the same three, not necessarily in the same order. I went Beholder, Sheer Drama, and then Stop Charging Maria as the top three in there, so we're in agreement on those three. 3-year-old and up, male sprint candidates, and again, for me, a pretty easy decision here. It was Run Happy over the ill-fated Rockfall as my top two. And then I used Wild Dude from the barn of Jerry Hollendorfer as my third choice in that one.
Well, I took Run Happy, Private Zone, and Rockfall. So we're not too far off.
No, pretty close on that one too. 3-year-old and up, female sprint candidates. This was an interesting category. I thought more wide open than maybe at first glance.
Yeah, this was maybe the head scratcher for me, but I went to Cavorting because she was just so dominant, you know, during the spring and summer. I just really thought she was overpowering. So I picked her on top. I took Fantastic Style second and Laverdod third. Laverdod ran some really nice races during the year, and she kind of ran in races that I thought maybe she wouldn't run well in, and she did. So she got some respect from me.
Yeah, hard to knock La Verdad. 5 wins and 8 starts this year with 1 second place finish. I also went with Cavorting on top. I picked Unbridled Forever as my second choice, winner of the Grade 1 Ballerina at Saratoga back on August 29th. She only sprinted twice this year. She was a perfect 2-for-2, so she was the one that I threw in there in the second position. I thought she deserved some consideration. The 3-year-old and up male turf candidates, I think you and I disagreed on this category. I ended up giving it to Golden Horn, even though he was beaten in the Breeders' Cup turf. I thought the rest of his campaign was that. But here's the thing that I always fight myself on is, are we talking about horses that have had success here in the United States with Eclipse Award candidates, or horses that had success anywhere in the world for their 2015 campaign?
Well, I don't think it's cut and dry, but I really don't think I couldn't pick Golden Horn. If he had won the race, maybe I could have picked mm-hmm. him. But since he got beat, I couldn't pick him. But I always weight the Arlington Million very heavily in my decision for this category. It's a race that I think is one of America's most important turf races. And so I went with the Pizza Man. I thought he just had a phenomenal year. I thought he ran races that were otherworldly, especially for him. I mean, he stepped into a different dimension this year. He's always been a nice horse, but this year I think was the year of the Pizza Man, and So it's kind of ironic the pizza man would be my choice. And then, you know, we see Peyton Manning, the world's biggest pizza pitch man, go into the dumper. But I
well, he got hurt.
Well, I know, but.
Go into the dumper. He got hurt. Well, the guy's hurt.
Yeah, he's hurt. But anyway, I picked the pizza man. Big Blue Kitten. You know, I'm a big Blue Kitten fan. And he ran some great races as well. And then I picked a horse, Forced a Pass, who I was super impressed with all summer. He's a three-year-old, but I thought he ran some phenomenal races against some very, very good fields. And so that was my three.
Yeah, I went Golden Horn on top, and then Big Blue Kitten was my second choice in here. And, you know, I was between Big Blue Kitten and the Pizza Man trying to decide which horse I was going to put in, and I was going to leave one of them out completely. I left the Pizza Man out completely. And I gave it to Big Blue Kitten, even though the Pizza Man beat him in the Arlington Million. Big Blue Kitten finished in front of him. Was it the Breeders' Cup Turf? Yeah, the Breeders' Cup Turf. Big Blue Kitten finished in front of him in the Breeders' Cup Turf. Two grade one victories for Big Blue Kitten as opposed to one for the Pizza Man. That is what weighed into that decision for me. And then I actually, again, coming back to the European angle, I used Highland Real, who I thought was a very deserving candidate. You look at what he did. He came here to the United States. He won the Secretariat on August 15th. Of course, that's a race for the three-year-old turfers. He went all the way back to Ireland. Then he went to Australia. Then he went to Hong Kong. He wins the grade one Hong Kong Vaz. Winning races on different continents was what kind of it gave him a little bit of an edge to me to put him in there for the third spot.
Are you on Alistair Donald's payroll or something? All of a sudden you've gone all European on me?
Yeah.
Pretty soon you're going to be wearing skinny jeans and noosing your hair, what's left of it.
You don't want me in skinny jeans. Trust me. You do not.
I can't believe you went all European.
I know. Well, and you know, I did not in the next category, the three-year-old and up female turf candidates. I did not go Europeans here. I went with Teppin. I thought that she was just phenomenal this year. Her win in the Breeders' Cup Mile against the boys was spectacular. Seven starts in 2015, five wins, 2 seconds. To me, it was Teppin over Stephanie's Kitten, and I used Found in the third position in there.
There you go.
European.
Well, I agree with you on Teppin. I mean, Teppin was another filly that just stepped into a different dimension this year, and unbelievable performances. I mean, just her last two races were spectacular. I wanted to give it to Stephanie's Kitten, going out in style. I mean, how cool was that?
Great
that
story.
That was going out in style, but I just thought Teppin, my thinking was if you put these two in a match race, Teppin's going to beat Stephanie's Kitten. So I went Teppin, Stephanie's Kitten, and I picked Lady Eli third. I think she deserved some mention in that category for sure.
All right, and that is how we saw it in the equine categories of the Eclipse Awards. Again, though, those finalists will all be announced on January 6th. That is this coming Wednesday. And make sure you tune in to Express Bet Radio from 3 to 6 Eastern that afternoon with the Big A, Anthony Stabile, the Little A, Acacia Courtney. Yeah, all aboard the A-Train on Express Bet Radio. You can do that 3 to 6 Eastern Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and we'll have some more information. We'll talk about these finalists for you in depth Wednesday afternoon. It is time now for your Blood Horse News Update and your weekly look at the headlines from BloodHorse.com. Well, we mentioned this story earlier. King Krantz breaks maiden in Lost in the Fog. Zayat Stables' King Krantz, equipped with blinkers for the first time, went from maiden to stakes winner January 1st in the Lost in the Fog for three-year-olds at Aqueduct. The colt by Munnings, the leading second crop sire of 2015 by progeny earnings and wins, raced very well in five previous starts, but wasn't able to break through with a win. He rallied from 10th to 5th in his career debut at Saratoga, finished second to currently undefeated Mohamed in his second start, and came in second in the Grade 2 Futurity Stakes in his third outing. And Naira ups the ante for early two-year-old races. And what it says is a move to increase the profitability of owning young racehorses. The New York Racing Association will schedule six $100,000 maiden races for two-year-olds this spring as lead-ins to its first two juvenile stakes of 2016. the Astoria for two-year-old fillies and the Tremont for two-year-olds are set for June 9th and 10th, respectively. From April 20th through May 19th, each division will have three trial races with restructured purse distribution and bonuses for New York bred runners. And that is your Blood Horse News update for this morning. For more industry news and headlines, simply head on over to bloodhorse.com. How about that new idea from Naira, JT? Do you like that? The idea of running $100,000 maiden races as trial races for the upcoming two-year-old stakes later in the year?
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I'm all in favor of more purse money. I don't think the purse money is commensurate with how much it costs to train a racehorse.
Yeah.
So I'm all in favor of purse raises.
Yeah, the one thing that was kind of a bit odd with the new plan, keep in mind, the regular maiden special weight purses in New York are going to be $75,000. So they're going to add an additional $25,000 to make it a $100,000 purse in the trial races. The winners of those trial races will get $50,000. Now, typically, the winner gets 60% of the purse. So you would typically get $60,000 for winning a $100,000 race. It's still $5,000 more than you would have gotten for winning the $75,000 maiden special weight, which would have been, $45,000 for 60% of that.
Right. Why did they do that?
I don't know. This was the one thing in there that kind of struck me as funny. Maybe we could have somebody on from Naira to talk about that, because you will get $50,000 for the win. Typically it's 60, 20, 10, 5, right?
Right.
They're going to go 50% for the win and $50,000 to the winner, 20% for second, 10% for third, so $20,000, $10,000 respectively, $7,500 for fourth, and then $5,000 for fifth, and then $4,000. And then pay out the rest of it to all of the other finishers, assuming that you have a 10-horse field. This is all based on having a 10-horse field.
It's kind of convoluted.
Yeah, that was the one part of the whole thing that didn't quite add up to me.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it all adds up in general. I mean, if you're running for $75,000 in your regular races, why have these races?
Well, I think the idea is to increase the field size, because last year in those maiden special weight races leading up to the stakes, the field sizes were not big by any stretch of the imagination. So I think they want to try and increase those field sizes. But I don't know.
Maybe they shouldn't ride as many races. What happens is, let me explain to you.
Yeah.
In real life, what happens is they need an extra race because some race didn't fill, so they hang up a maiden special weight race and they get six or seven horses in it, and because everybody always has those horses to run, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the field size is short.
Yep.
If you're only running, two a book or whatever, the field size is going to be huge and you're going to have oversubscriptions.
Right.
So it's, I don't know, stuff like that's bizarre to me.
Yeah.
I think anything that dilutes the program is bad. I think bigger purses is great. But if you're diluting your own program, it's kind of like non-winners of two races claiming races, It eliminates those horses from a regular race. If you're running a non-winners of 2-12-5, because they offer it, of course that's an easy spot and you want to run in there. But if they didn't offer those condition claiming races, if all 12-5 races were 12-5 and you run, and if you're no good, go somewhere else,
right?
Then it changes the whole program. That's kind of something that I learned from Jimmy Kilroe many, many years ago. I mean, Mr. Kilroe was not in favor of condition claiming races. He didn't want to submarine his own condition book, And I think nowadays racing secretaries are so desperate. And the other thing is, most tracks don't want to cough up purse money. They'd rather run cheap races because it doesn't cost them as much, So it's kind of an interesting situation.
Yeah, and I think maybe some of the thinking, and I don't want to speak for Naira, but some of the thinking with not offering 60% to the winner and keeping the additional $10,000 to distribute throughout the rest of the field, assuming you have a 10-horse field, is because of the fact that you're trying to entice people to run against, let's say the Todd Pletchers and the Chad Browns of the world, right? If you're going to give out 60, 20, 10, 5, and those guys are going to be, 2-5, 3-5 in there, even money, that you're going to have a hard time you know, with your horse trying to, you're probably not going to beat him, right? You hope you are, but you're probably not going to beat him. So I think at this point, now they take the other 10,000 and they can distribute it through the whole field. They're going to pay all the way down to 10 if you have a 10 horse field, and it's going to be 3,500 divided from 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th position. Yeah, so you're going to get 1,875.
Do you want somebody running a horse that's going to get beat 85 lengths by a Pletcher in a race so they can pick up a check for $715
for 1,800,
or whatever?
Yeah.
I mean, right. It's just like it doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, I don't know. Hey, that's above my pay grade. Nobody's included me in this conversation previously, so I don't really, you know, have anything to say about it. But
no problem with more money. I think the purses, no problem with increasing the purses. That's fine. Right. The distribution is where I kind of had
Because why should you penalize? Question. Why should you penalize Pletcher or whoever it is if they have a nice horse? Why should they get penalized?
Correct.
Right. Yeah. Because they have nice horses and you don't.
Right.
I mean, that's just how, that's how racing is. It's supposed to be like, who's the best horse?
Yep.
You know? So I don't know. I just, stuff like that always is crazy.
All right. Ron Nicoletti going to join us from Gulfstream Park in just about 4 or 5 minutes from right now. We're going to get to a break momentarily, but do want to remind you that Tonalist, Mr. Speaker, Honor Code, and Liam's Map reinforce the power of Lane's End Stallions. The 2016 roster builds on Lane's End's legacies of AP Indy, King Mambo, and Smart Strike. As the new crop joins the ranks of current standing stallions, Candy Ride, Lemon Drop Kid, Mineshaft, The Factor, Union Rags, Noble Mission, and City Zip, the successful tradition of the 13-time leading stud farm continues, and it continues at Lane's End. Visit lanesend.com. We're back to visit with Ron Nicoletti from Gulfstream next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Lane's End.
Power.
Carrick Gondi, the favorite in front. The Spaniard, News of Canaris, is fighting back. Carrick Gondi has won.
Passion.
Prestige Vendome is making him fight all the way towards the line. It's Carrick Gondi winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Carrick Gondi with a rush on the outside goes Bantam. Lead run from Adam Dahl. Carrick Gondi and O'Dahl. Carrick Gondi.
Gainesway is home to North America's leading sire, Tappet, and is proud to announce the addition of multiple group and grade one winner, Carrick Gondi. One of the leading juveniles in Europe, Carrick Gondi won the group one Grand Criterium with a time form rating of 115, and at three, he scored impressively in the group one French 2000 Guineas and stormed home to win the grade one Breeders' Cup Mile at Santa Anita. Carrick Gondi, standing at Gainesway.
Power. Passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
And they're off in New York. The premier state bred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
Grade 1 millionaire Cowboy Cow is leading the third crop sire by two-year-old winners with a dozen juvenile winners already this year. His runners have earned nearly $2 million, and his sires a greater percentage of winners than nearly any other stallion in his crop, including Pioneer of the Nile. Cowboy Cow, a grand-looking son of Giant's Causeway, standing at Penn Oak Stud.
Racing fans, happy new year from the Great Race Place. Come join us today for a total of three graded stakes. The Grade 2 Midnight Lute for older horses at 6.5 furlongs, the Grade 2 Santa Inez for 3-year-old fillies at 6.5 furlongs, and the Grade 2 San Gabriel for older horses at 1 1/8 on turf. Don't forget, we've got free infield admission and parking each weekend. Just enter through Gate 6 off of Colorado Place. Admission gates open at 10:30 a.m. First post time is at 12:30. Come see us here at spectacular Santa Anita.
Verrazano, brilliant winner of 6 of his first 7 starts, including the Grade 1 Wood Memorial.
And they're coming down to the finish, and it will be
Verrazano.
And the Haskell by a record 9 3/4 lengths, earning a buyer figure of 116, the highest of any three-year-old in 2013.
And Verrazano and John Velasquez have blown away their competition.
Verrazano, a great-looking son of More Than Ready, standing in Ashford.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
It's Bound, Paula Silver Lining, and Bound now to settle it with Athena third and trying to quicken as well. Three chances of 16th out. In fourth is Pangburn. Here's Athena. Athena Bound. Athena and Bound racing to the second wire together. Athena and Bound. Paula Silver Lining and Pangburn.
Athena, the daughter of Darley Stallion Street Sense, came rolling home from off the pace to win the 38 Go-Go Stakes at Laurel this past weekend under jockey Julian Pimentel for trainer Helen Pitts and owner Mary Grum. And that winning effort makes her your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. From five crops to race, Darley Stallion Street Sense has had a grade one winner in every crop. With three grade one winners in 2015, Street Sense stands behind only leading sires Tappet, Warfront, and Bernardini. And his six grade one horses on dirt in 2015 is second only to Tappet. To learn more about Street Sense and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
A gap of nearly five more lengths back to Twirling Tiger, SDAS, Dan the go-to man up on the outside. Twirling Cinnamon, long way back to Spike Sherrill. Moment is right, the leader, Shake of Shakes, right alongside. Richie the Bull far outside, and then No Holding Back Bear back toward the rail, tries to find an opening as they come by the eighth pole. Shake of Shakes has a narrow lead. No Holding Back Bear up the inside to second, and then Richie the Bull. Moment is right, still fights on, but backs up to fourth. Here comes No Holding Back Bear up the inside, trying to catch Shake of Shakes, who has the lead. Shake of Shakes, No Holding Back Bear. Shake of Shakes wins it. No Holding Back Bear second. Richie the Bull third, close for fourth.
Kurt Becker with the call of the Juvenile Dirt Sprint at Keeneland on October 31st, and Shake of Shakes getting the victory over No Holding Back Bear. They have a rematch scheduled for this afternoon in the Grade 3 Hutchinson Stakes at Gulfstream Park. It is part of an unbelievable program for three-year-olds, featuring several stakes races and some very interesting maiden races as well. Mike Penn and Jude Feld with you on the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And nobody has their finger on the pulse of South Florida racing like Ron Nicoletti, and he joins us now right here on the Equine Forum. Ronnie, welcome to the program, my friend. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you guys, too, and a beautiful day here in South Florida, so it should be a lot of fun starting the day with a fast track and a firm turf.
What a tremendous program, too. The Kentucky Derby, as Jude and I were talking about earlier, is going to be here before we know it, just 126 days away, and you start looking at some of these three-year-olds we're going to see today, not just in the stakes, but in the maiden races and some of the allowance races, and this is a really solid program, and it gets your juices flowing.
Yeah, every January, that you never know. We always say you never know when you're going to see the Florida Derby or Kentucky Derby winner making its start here at Gulfstream Park. I mean, that's what we key on, these three-year-old races. And as everybody knows out there, you know, January 1st, all the two-year-olds turn three. And those five stakes today for three-year-olds should be a lot of fun.
Ronnie, tell me, I know I didn't prep you for this. I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this question, but some of the top three-year-olds that are in South Florida we can look forward to seeing over the next couple of months. I know Mo Heyman is there from the barn of Kieran McLaughlin. Who are some of the other big names you're expecting in the coming months at Gulfstream Park?
Yeah, that's a tough question. I really haven't done that much research on it. It'd be hard to ask, you know, what it is. You know, you hear all these rumors of what horses are going to be here. Mo Heyman's been the big story, actually.
Yeah, pointing for the Holy Bull Stakes, of course, but of course the Grade 3. Hutchinson, one of the big races on tap for today, JT.
Yeah, the Hutchinson, we talked about it earlier, Ronnie, about this race used to be 7 furlongs. It was more of a Derby prep back then. Now it seems like it's more of a sprinter's type race.
Yeah, it's a sprinter's type race, and then, you know, we got that progression. We go from 6 to 7 to the mile and a 16th, you know, to the mile and 8 in the Florida Derby, and it's sort of that progression. They want to see, you know, the horses can build off the different distances and see who, you know, gets the prize at the end of the meeting the second day in April in the Florida Derby.
Ronnie, we see the rematch between Shake of Shakes and No Holding Back Bear in the Hutchinson. Are those the two, or is there somebody else you think might jump up and make some noise?
Well, those are the two that I picked, but there is a horse that we don't know what to do with. And just looking around, a lot of guys are picking this horse, and that's the two Awesome Banners making his first start. This horse was so impressive in his career debut last June, in which he drew off to win by 4.5. He won the race by 4.5 furlongs. He won it by almost 10 lengths. It was a track record. Trainer is Stanley Dole. Does an excellent job with his young horses. He's pretty good with this layoff of 180 days, but the horse has not been seen. He was absolutely brilliant in that race. And we just marked him down as the horse that was going to win all the Florida Sire Stakes series that we have down here for Florida Reds. And then the horse, disappeared, had a chip in its knee, coming back, working well. And I think that's the sneaky in the race today, stretching out. I mean, it's a bit of a guess, but, if you go by the workout pattern, this horse looks like he's working okay. He's got a 6-furlong work, got a bullet 5-furlong work since he came back from the farm.
Yeah, that 3/4 and 111 3 is kind of eye-popping when you take a look at that on the form.
Yeah, and a lot of guys are picking him, and, it's hard to, you don't really know what he is. I picked him on the ticket. I mean, I wouldn't let him beat me. And if you watch the races here at Gulfstream Park, yes, they certainly tilted the main track towards horses that showed speed. There was no real inside bias or outside bias, but if you got the lead, you had a good chance here. So the track has tightened up. It's been very warm over here the last few days. And this is the type of horse that just go out there and never look back.
Well, the Hutchinson goes as race number 3 on that program this afternoon, post time of 1:05 Eastern. It will be followed by the Grade 3 Old Hat Stakes for the 3-year-old fillies. Ronnie, another field of 6, and we're going to get a chance to see morning line favorite Lucy and Ethel, who is 8-5 on the morning line, and going to square off with second choice Ballet Diva. Should be a good one there.
Yeah, I mean, Lucy Neckel looks like a good horse here. Is undefeated, started both at Parks up in Pennsylvania, and won rather impressively on the front end, comes back, makes its allowance debut, wins by over 13 lengths. Talking about Stanley Gold in the last race, Ballet Diva would try and make it 2 in a row, and her 4th victory over this track. So she likes the track. She's had 5 races, 3 wins. She returned from the layoff, and she won the $75,000 house party. That was across town at Gulfstream Park West. Stanley Gold, Jose Caraballo, this is the daughter of Hear No Evil. Just a little interesting stat that I found out. She's won $339,000. That's more than the rest of the field combined. So
wow.
She's, won her races. She's won Florida bred races and everything like that, but I really respect the connection. So put Lucy and Ethel on top for, obvious reasons when you look at it. And I threw the 3, Dad's Kiddo in 3rd, who was 2nd to Ballet Diva in that house party across town.
How good is Ron Nicoletti? Listen to this information he's throwing out here. These paisans, they can handicap a little bit, can't they?
No, not all paisans, but Ronnie can.
I'm living proof of that. Ronnie, how about the Ginger Brew? That will be race number 5, 7.5 furlongs on the turf, a field of 10. This one a little bit more wide open. You have a 5-2 morning line favorite with number 3, Lyra.
I mean, that's the way I went there, but like you say, I think it's a pretty wide-open race. I mean, Lyra cutting back to 7.5, followed its maiden victory, going a mile with another mile victory. That was in the $75,000 wait a while. Also across town at Gulfstream Park West on the turf. And this horse just looks like a logical one. It's Todd Pletcher. How great is Javier Castellano riding at this meeting? He's just ordered of Giants Causeway, undefeated. Recognition in 2nd, Jimmy DeVito, Paco Lopez in there. And I close it out with the 10 price to perfection. This horse trained to Trav Brown. If you learned anything, do not leave him out of a turf race. So I agree with you 100%. I picked Lyra, Recognition, and price to perfection, but I'm going to go deep in that race.
Yeah, price to perfection, full sister to Miss Temple City. My brother bred price to perfection, so we've got to root for her.
Oh, we'll root for her, then, definitely.
He mentions how well Javier Castellano is riding.
I'm not going against the Pope.
I think that Castellano guy is going to turn out okay, too.
Yeah, he looks like he can ride a little bit. So, I mean, he just amazes me. It's so much fun. Like, you guys, you're all over the country. You get to watch him like we do all, ride each and every day if you're, at the Saratoga meeting or something like that. He's just amazing to me. He just puts the horse in a place where it could win.
All right, the Grade 3 Dania Beach Stakes is race number 7. At Gulfstream Park this afternoon, 7.5 furlong turf event. This one for the boys, post time of 3:05 Eastern, and you have another big field, a field of 10 going the 2 turns in here. Ronnie, what do you think?
I went with the one Isotherm, a perfect two for two on the turf, which includes that victory in the Grade 3 Pilgrim at Belmont. Now goes back to the turf today. Counted some trouble in its last race. He was bumped early, steadied at the 316 pole. That was in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup, a juvenile. George Weaver, Luis Saez in the saddle. Luis Saez yesterday, three wins on the card. He is challenging Javier Castellano for the leading rider right now early on the meet. He's been riding in great form. Life Imitates Arts in second, but the horse that everybody's talking about is Raise the Bar, the number nine, beaten a half length by Isotherm in that race we were talking about, the Pilgrim. Renews the rivalry today after finishing 11 in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. This horse can really wake up. I'm going to put a line through that. He's a son of Exceed and Excel. He's trained by Chad Brown, Javier Castellano in the saddle, and that seems to be the sneaky around here that everybody's going with Isotherm. You know, maybe a cool second. I wouldn't be surprised if Raise the Bar went off the favorite.
Really? Raise the Bar, the wise guy horse, huh?
Yes. Yeah, that's what we've been everybody, as a matter of fact, just sitting around last night with a bunch of people, and everybody's going, what about Raise the Bar? I just kept hearing this name over and over again. So, but I went 1, 4, and 9.
Ronnie, with the configuration of those 7.5 furlong turf races at Gulfstream, you don't have a lot of time to get into position going into the first turn. Is there an advantage to being inside, outside, or does it matter?
You know, it's a great question, but we've been looking at it over the last couple of years, and you really can't find the only problem when you get like a post 14 or something like that, of course, just where the horse is put, but it seems to be pretty even, especially with the short run at 7.5 furlongs. It's the most amazing thing everybody's been looking for years, and I'm sure you've read a lot of things. No one has ever come up and said, you know, seven and a half furlongs from, 36 feet out, it favors inside speed. It just doesn't. You know, I never found that bias that I can, you know, hang my hat on.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You know, we've had Mr. Ramsey on for the Claiming Crown
right.
Every year, and sometimes his horses have had like post 14 or whatever, and he says, "Oh, I'm a little worried about the post," and they win anyway. So I think you're right. It doesn't really seem like it's that big of a deal if the jock can work out a trip. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes if you're the 14 and you you have speed and there's a lot of speed inside of you, then it becomes a problem, you know, because you got to get position and there's six horses inside of you trying to do the same thing. So hard to do, you know what I mean? But yesterday, for instance, Shug had a horse in the last race, I believe it was, or the ninth, tenth, yeah, last race, the 14 horse, and the post did cost him a little bit in there. He ended up finishing third in the race, and, you know, afterwards you could see that he just couldn't get that position. So you always put factor that into your handicapping.
Ron Nicoletti joining us live from Gulfstream Park this morning on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Ronnie, how about the Mucho Macho Man Stakes, which will go as race 10? It's 1 mile, a one-turn mile race on the main track, and this will kind of wrap up the three-year-old stakes racing action this afternoon, but another relatively competitive field.
Yeah, I went with the three awesome speed stretching out to a mile to their first time. Really solid three-race campaign sprinting up at Laurel, which includes that victory in the $100,000 James Lewis, I believe it is. And I'm just not totally sold on this horse because of the stretch out. Fellowship, once again, sounded like a broken record, but here is Stanley Gold again. Earlier, a couple of months ago, we were saying, oh, these three-year-olds, you know, I don't know if, you know how I'm going to, you know, fit in these races with these horses coming down. He's got three live shots in three races, you know, Stanley Gold, and I'm talking about, you know, this one second in the Smooth Air last time out. It didn't run badly. You know, he won the mile in the 16th, $500,000 in reality division of the Florida Sire Stakes. And Golden Ray is my other horse who'll try to make it two in a row. He's won at the mile distance. So another one where I think if you can and you're putting a Rainbow Six ticket together, you got to go a little deeper now.
Well, Ronnie, we can't wait to see you here in a couple of weeks. We're heading down to broadcast the Sunshine Millions on January 16th, and then we'll be there every single Saturday beginning February 6th for exclusive coverage of all the major stakes races with Saturdays at Gulfstream, and can't wait to kick off that series and all of our coverage here in 2016 with you guys right there in South Florida.
Will Jude be with you too?
Oh yeah, I'll be there.
You can now I have a drinking partner then. Okay.
There you go. We're ready. We'll go over and get ourselves some rum at the little rum bar there.
Is Colmus going to be fired by then?
Oh, I hope so. I
Ron Nicoletti here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Like all of our guests, we'll receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Ronnie, good luck at the races today, my friend, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Thanks so much.
I can't wait to see you guys. Have a good Happy New Year.
Same to you.
All right, Nicoletti. Boy, that guy's great, isn't he?
He really is. He's a buzzsaw. And, you know, you hear him on the radio and he's all pumped up, and he's like that in real life. I mean, I've never seen him have a bad day.
No.
He's always out there enjoying the races and talking to people, and just a great guy. Love Ronnie. A
lot of energy, and looking forward to getting down to Gulfstream here. In just a couple of weeks, you can visit horseracingradio.net for our complete broadcast schedule for 2016 and to listen to podcasts of all of our programming. It's all there, horseracingradio.net, and follow us on Twitter at HRRN. One more break. We'll come back and get you set for the stretch run of the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you gotta be more than fast.
More than fast.
You gotta be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Amalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Now horse players can get an early edge on Saturday's most anticipated races. Daily Racing Form introduces the Saturday Stakes Preview, a new weekly publication that previews past performances for all Saturday stakes from tracks around the country. For the first time, get past performances for all the races you're looking for in one convenient product. Each issue includes the past performances of horses entered in all major stakes for the coming Saturday, plus additional data, stories, and free access to DRF Plus, all for just $6. It's everything you need to jumpstart your handicapping a full day sooner. So look for the Saturday Stakes Preview print edition at all Daily Racing Form retailers each Thursday, or get it online at DRF.com on Wednesday evenings. Don't start your Saturday handicapping without the Saturday Stakes Preview. Try it this week. The Saturday Stakes Preview at retailers each Thursday. For more info, go to DRF.com.
Hi, this is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Forget, you don't have to wait until Saturday morning to get your HRRN fix. You can go to horseracingradio.net throughout the entire week and listen to all of our programming, including Jock Talk presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka every Tuesday from 6 to 7 Eastern, Trainer Talk presented by Fasig Tipton Wednesdays at 6 Eastern, and on Thursdays, the Brisnet.com call-in show gives you an opportunity to call in and talk some racing with our HRN team. And then, of course, Friday's the Express Bet Weekend Stakes Preview. All of those shows, 6 to 7 Eastern, and all following Express Bet Radio, which you can catch every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday afternoon from 3 to 6. And all those shows on Sirius 220, XM Channel 206, and as I mentioned, streaming worldwide and podcast on our website, horseracingradio.net.
Yes, you'll want to tune in as often as possible.
How about the Trainer Talk interview we had with Dane Kobisky this past week. How much fun was that?
It was awesome. I really enjoyed it. I had never met him, but didn't know that much about him. But really cool guy, interesting conversation, has a little bit avant-garde philosophy about life and how it relates to training horses. And love the fact that he invited us to go fishing.
On Lake Okeechobee.
Yeah, yeah. Can't wait.
You didn't know, that's where they have the Bassmaster Classic.
Yes.
At least they have.
Yes. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah.
It'll be a good time. He was actually getting his bass boat hooked up to his truck as we were doing the interview with him.
Yeah, I love these guys. They're driving here, they're driving there. That happens a lot on Trainer Talk.
You remember David Fox joined us from his fishing boat out on the Keys?
Yeah, he was actually fishing at the time.
Yeah.
Must be tough to be a trainer in Florida, huh? Maybe I should hang out my shingle again.
You might want to start thinking about coming out of retirement.
I still have my webbings, huh?
Yeah.
Do a little fishing, do a little training, go to the races once in a while, drink some rum, smoke a cigar. Doesn't sound like a bad life.
No, not at all. And you can catch that Trainer Talk podcast with Dane Kobisky and all of our Trainer Talk shows right there on our website. That one right on our homepage now, as well as Jock Talk with Jesse Campbell, who joined Christina McManigal for the full hour this past week. That was a lot of fun as well. Do it all at horseracingradio.net. All right, Pontiff, let's take a look and share our thoughts on some of the stakes races coming up later on this afternoon, and I'm going to throw it to you. You start wherever you would like, and we'll go from there.
Well, let's go to the fourth race at Laurel. This is the What a Summer Stakes. It's 75,000 added for fillies and mares. A really interesting little race, seven-horse field. I was looking at Raging Smoke. Raging Smoke has a nice record, made $316,000, $310,000 in her career. Winner of 6 out of 18, so that's always attractive, a horse that likes to win. This mare, she came off a layoff last time. She was off from September to December and ran 4th. She was bumped at the start and 5 wide. It looks like they maybe gave her a race there, and this was the prime objective all along. She ran in the stakes on December the 5th, and now returns a month later. She's had a nice blowout, 35-1 for this race. I think she's got a big chance. There's just enough speed to make the lead. She should get a nice suck-along trip right behind the leaders and be very tough in the drive. So that's number 5, Raging Smoke.
And 5-2 on the morning line in the What a Summer, right?
Right.
Race number 4.
The What
4.
A Summer Stakes.
Yeah, 6 furlongs on the main track. Post time for that one, 1:55 Eastern.
We got the Grade 2 Santa Ynez at Santa Anita. This was a very interesting handicapping puzzle. Pretty and Cool is the morning line favorite, I believe, and Martin Garcia, Bob Baffert. But her last two races, she's been out of the money. Her last race was a mile and a 16th. Doesn't really seem like that's her forte, despite the fact that she's by Scat Daddy. She ran 7/8 before that, finished 5th. She's maybe best a little bit shorter. She gets 6.5 furlongs today. She's got some good speed. Her works have been good. I mean, I could see making her the favorite. She's got to carry 123 pounds, and I don't think she's necessarily an international good thing as the chalk. A horse that interested me was the 6 Code Warrior. Now, this horse is rare in that it's run its only 3 races on Tapita, but is undefeated. And she's got a big step up today. I mean, she's won 2 stakes in Northern California at Golden Gate, but she was purchased out of the Texas sale for a measly $18,000. She's already made $76,000. Manny Badia trains her in 3 big wins in a row, by 7, by 2 3/4, by a length and 3/4. Looks like a pretty nice filly. Interesting prospect work. 59-1 on December the 20th. That's kind of eye-popping. Best of 89 on the morning. So if you're looking for a horse to maybe throw in the try or maybe just take a shot with, Anne Sanguinetti is coming down to ride her. She's been aboard for all 3 of those victories. So I thought that was an interesting horse to maybe use in some exactas or tries, keep an eye on. Be interesting to see how she runs on the dirt for the first time.
Yeah, and Sanguinetti, capable. Not the household name of a Javier Castellano or a Russell Bays in Northern California, but she's won nearly 500 races, closing in on that mark at 496. So she can get it done in a big spot, and we'll see if indeed you're correct on that race. Coming up later on this afternoon, Santa Anita. Post time is 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific for the Santa Ynez, which is race number three.
Yeah, I'm not saying she's an international good thing or anything, but I'm a little suspect of Pretty and Cool, especially at a short price. It's probably a good race to watch, really, but that's an interesting horse, I thought.
All right, where else do we go now?
Let's stay home. Let's go to Turfway.
We haven't done
a Turfway race in a while. We got a lot of people that listen to the show that live in Kentucky, and they've got the Wintergreen Stakes tonight. Post time 7:42. If you're sitting around bored, I know it's getting that time of the holidays where, you know, you just want to sit down and play a few races in the evening sometimes. And this is an interesting race, a mile on the main track. Emotional Kitten is the favorite, I believe. She's been running, you know, decent races, but hasn't been winning a lot. Wesley Ward trains her, and Wesley's usually pretty live in those races at Turfway Park. So I think that's a horse we have to keep an eye on. But an interesting horse to me was Compelling Case. And this one from the Mike Maker stable has been running on the turf, but her all-weather record is good. She has a win and 2 seconds on all weather tracks, a daughter of Successful Appeal. And this one has a nice versatile style. She's usually a closer, but she can lay up close if need be. And she won her last race on the turf at Churchill. So I think this is maybe a little bit of a drop in class for her, even though it's a stakes race. And I think she's got a big chance. Carlos Marquez is going to ride her this evening.
You know, I told you I was going to let you lead on this and just talk about races that you had in front of you there, JT. But there's one horse you mentioned to me yesterday, which I think we should talk about for a moment, because doesn't necessarily get the headlines of some of the top older horses in the country. But that's Paige McKenney, who goes in the Native Dancer Stakes at Laurel this afternoon. Race number 7, mile and a 16th, trained by Mary Epler, who is legendary in Maryland, Horatio Caramanos in the saddle. A lot of things to like about Paige McKenney, and he is 7-5 on the morning line.
Yeah, what a fantastic year Paige McKenney's had. I mean, he 2015, he hasn't had a great year this year so far, but he may kick it off today.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. You know, he's one of those horses that runs at different tracks, and he runs good every time he runs. Mary Epler's done a great job with him. And, you know, he's not in the tonalist, American Pharoah mode. But he's a horse that I think if he ran in a race like the Breeders' Cup Classic, he might run good just because he always runs good.
Yeah.
And he deserves a lot of respect. He's a very, very cool horse. And if they had a Eclipse Awards for, you know, cool horses that run their ass off, he would have to be right on your ticket, I would think.
Yeah, and let's see. He could, yeah, if he were to win that race today, it's a $75,000 stake, 60%, he could become racing's newest millionaire, currently sitting at $976,000 in earnings, making his 42nd lifetime start is Paige McKenney as a 6-year-old today.
Yeah, and it's just an amazing horse. And the kind of horse that everybody would love to own, love to be around. I mean, it's just a hard knocker. And you always have to root for a horse like that.
Well, if you don't have Derby fever yet, you really should, because we're edging ever closer to the first Saturday in May, and that Run for the Roses, now just 126 days, 7 hours, 35 minutes, and 27 seconds away. I can't resist.
You've beat that up ad nauseum, as you like to say.
What's that mean? I can't resist. Nyquist, of course, topping the Derby leaderboard right now over Exaggerator in the 2 position. Brody's Cause 3, More Spirit 4, and Swipe sitting in that 5th place position as of now, but a lot to be determined over the next 126 days. And we'll encourage you to follow us down that road to the Kentucky Derby. Visit horseracingradio.net and follow us at HRN on Twitter. Our thanks to Gwendolyn Crosser for being with us in the first half of the program, and Ron Nicoletti in hour number two. If you missed any portion, go to our website, check out the podcast later on this morning.
Yeah. Check it out.
All right. We're back with you next week here on the Equine Forum, but follow us all week long with shows here on HRN. For our producer, Lee Delapina, for the pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, I'm Mike Pennon. Because nothing good comes to deviation, go Steelers and go Bills.
Good night, Barbados. Go Jets.